From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
And a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia, and as I tell you every day, it is a great joy to share this hour with you every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And we repeat the program 10 p.m. on those same days and archive on our website and our YouTube channel. Are coming to you today on our YouTube channel. You can watch the program at youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia. And, you know, we just ask you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It doesn't cost you anything. We don't bother you. It's just the more subscriptions we have, the better off it is for us. Because, you know, you can get to a certain point with a certain number of subscriptions, and you can start to monetize it. Not you, but we could maybe get a little cash flow coming in. So the more people we have subscribed to our channel, the better it is for us. So do that. Just go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia, and subscribe to our channel. All of our local domestic church media programs that we have on our YouTube channel are archived there as well, so you can look at past programs. The Bishop's program is on there, Brothers in Arms, of course, this program. We have Better Together with Emily and Jen, one of our new programs, and Friday Live is on there. So you can go back and watch them. They're all archived there. I do hope and pray you're having a blessed day on this Wednesday. Kind of dreary out there today, misty and cold again, but that's okay. Soon it'll be spring, I guess 2 weeks from yesterday, first day of spring, March 19th, the Feast of St. Joseph. We'll look forward to that. But we thank God for this day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we do rejoice, and we are glad in it. So thank you, Lord, for another day together. Today, being Wednesday, I am going to share with you our Holy Father's general audience today from earlier in Rome. And today, he's talking about, of all the vices, pride, he says, is the great queen. So we'll talk about that. And also something from the Vatican. You know, we talked a little bit about it yesterday on Bruce's program, that France became the first country in the world to enshrine the right to abortion in its basic law into their constitution. Horrible thing. France used to be a pretty solid Catholic country. But anyway, that was Monday, I guess they did that. And the Pontifical Academy for Life came out with a statement. I'll share it with you after our prayer time on that abortion amendment, what the Vatican has said about that. So we'll, because on some so-called Catholic sites, you won't read this. It doesn't kind of follow their agenda. So, but I'll share with you from the Catholic News Agency, very reliable news source. It is EWTN owned, so we certainly know that we're going to get the truth from the Catholic News Agency. But before we do any of that, my friends, we are going to pray. And again, we're starting our prayer time together, as we've been doing for a number of months now, with this parents' deliverance prayer. Domestic church media exists, my friends, to evangelize, but we were founded and incorporated on the foundation of the message that we wanted to proclaim using all of the media that the Lord allows us to use to promote the cause of marriage and family life. Satan hates marriage. Satan hates the family. He wants to destroy both. So we, as parents, as spouses, we're going to pray and have been praying this prayer of deliverance for our spouse, ourselves, our minor children, and also in this prayer we call upon Almighty God to cast out any evil from our adult children, to bring unity to the family and peace and healing. So if you have situations in your family, as we do in ours, let's be honest. I mean, I'm not going to try to fool you. Where there is division, we're going to pray this prayer specifically for those intentions and all of your intentions, my friends. So wherever you are, and we know that with all the means of technology that we are able to use here at Domestic Church Media, of course, our four radio stations here in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, but also all of the other media platforms that we use, our streaming audio, our free Domestic Church Media mobile app, the Amazon Echo and Google Home devices, speaker devices, where anybody around the world can listen or watch. You know, if they're watching YouTube, you can watch YouTube anywhere in the world. And also our Facebook page today, facebook.com/domesticchurchmedia. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, that is our mission, and to promote the cause of marriage and family life. And so we begin, my brothers and sisters, as we begin all good things, that is, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And here, my friends, either pray out loud or in your heart for those intentions that we bring now to the throne of Almighty God. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. Amen. And now we'll pray our prayer to St. Michael and to Our Lady, as Holy Father asks us to pray these two specific prayers with the intention to protect the Church from the attacks of the devil. And we add to that intention to protect our homes, our families, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, dear Holy Family of Nazareth, we love you. Pray for us. Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Again, friends, thank you for praying. And, you know, every day we do invoke the assistance and the aid of Our Lady under the title of Our Lady of Good Remedy. As I've shared with you often, that particular prayer and that particular devotion was recommended to me by Mother Angelica herself almost 30 years ago. I guess, let's see, it was 1998. So what is this, 2024? So 26 years ago. And we do offer that novena prayer card free. If you'd like that, you know, now might be a real good time to request it and pray it if you don't already have it. As we approach our spring radiothon the first week in April, and our spring radiothon will be Easter week, Easter Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I believe it's the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of Easter of April. But if you'd like, go to our website, domesticchurchmedia.org. Up on the top of the screen, just click on the word pray, and a little drop-down menu appears there. You can submit a prayer request. You can also request prayer cards. And Our Lady of Good Remedy is on there, as is the prayer for our country, which, again, another important prayer we should be praying right now. Anyway, they're all free. We don't charge you for them. The only stipulation we put on them is that when you pray, especially the prayer to Our Lady of Good Remedy, you include in there the financial needs of Domestic Church Media. You know, my friends, the business is changing. You know, when we first started in Catholic radio with Domestic Church Media 20 years ago, I've been doing it almost 30 years. It's a lot different, you know, because when we first began, when Mother first introduced the radio side of EWTN, first it was only on shortwave radio, then she was encouraging people like us to purchase local radio stations, bring that signal down and broadcast it locally on the local radio stations. And that was the only way anybody was able to hear the EWTN radio broadcast, through these local affiliates. Well, obviously now it's a lot different. You can listen to any radio station anywhere you want from using any means of the ones I just mentioned, the Amazon Echo, the Google Home. Every radio station pretty much streams their audio. EWTN does. So things have changed, and people's listening habits have changed. You know, younger people today, and I'm talking millennials, Gen Xers, they don't even know radio exists, basically. A few of them might, but most of them, they're listening to podcasts and streaming audio, music, and things. So the audience has changed. So that's why we're using all these other means of communication to keep doing what we're doing. But it does cost us. And we are here, we exist for the same reason the church exists, to evangelize. We want to reach as many people as possible in as many ways as possible. You know, we have, I mentioned Better Together, Jen Morrow and Emily Italia on the their new program, which airs once a month second Saturday of the month in the morning at 11 o'clock, and then it repeats subsequently the next day at 1 o'clock Sunday, and then the following Thursday, I believe, at 5. Emily freelances. Well, first of all, Emily has been doing our graphic work here at Domestic Church Media for years. She's married to my nephew, so we're family. But she also writes freelances for the Monitor, the Trenton Diocese paper. And Jen Morrow is the managing editor of the Catholic Star Herald, the official newspaper of the Diocese of Camden. And they come together once a month here and produce a program that highlights all the great things that's going on in our state, in our area, and not just limited to one diocese, but just shares great information. So and hopefully reaching a little bit of a different audience. We do have a new program that we've been airing every week that started back in October, The Things That Don't Change, with Patrick Maher, Bill Maher's son, and Tom Walheim, and two young men, 20s and 30s, hoping to reach, another type of audience. But all of these programs are archived on our website, our YouTube channel, trying to reach as many people as possible. But my friends, we can't do any of it without your help. So that's why we have to have our radiothons. We're going to have our spring radiothon in April, Easter week, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, I believe, are those dates. And, you know, so if you could, and maybe you already have the prayer card to Our Lady of Good Remedy, please begin to pray that and include our financial intentions that we have a successful radiothon. If you don't have the prayer card, you can order them, request them from us. We don't charge. We even pick up the postage. Just go to our website, domesticchurchmedia.org, and up in the top of the screen, click on the word pray, and you get a drop-down menu, and included in that drop-down will be Our Lady of Good Remedy and the other prayers that we offer free. There's no charge. So, and you can offer, you know, order, request as many as you like. It's only going to pass them out, and you're not just, you know, sitting on a shelf somewhere. So we're happy to share them with you. They cost us. We have to pay for them. That's okay. The return on that investment, your prayers for us, is priceless. So take advantage of that and request those prayer cards, especially now as we approach our spring radiothon in April. All right, let's go to Holy Father. First of all, as I mentioned to you, on Monday, France became the first country in the world, to enshrine the right to abortion in its basic law, in its constitution. Of course, the French bishops staunchly opposed it, did oppose it. And now the Vatican has come out. The Pontifical Academy for Life reiterates that precisely in the era of human universal human rights, there cannot be a quote-unquote right to take a human life. This is from the Pontifical Academy for Life. They went on to appeal to all governments and all religious traditions to do their best so that in the phase of history, this phase of history, the protection of life becomes an absolute priority with concrete steps in favor of peace and social justice with effective measures for universal access to resources, education, and health. Noting that the protection of human life is humanity's first objective, the Vatican Academy acknowledged the myriad socioeconomic and personal difficulties that some families and women face. They write, these life situations and difficult and dramatic contexts of our time must be addressed by governments and civil society, but in a way that's at the service of the human person and of brotherhood and protects the weakest and most vulnerable. As I said, the French bishops have obviously been expressing their dismay with this. As they said, their sadness, deep opposition to this. And the French bishop called for respect for life from its conception to natural death, which he said should be recognized as part of the common foundation on which our society is based. So obviously the church speaking out against this, this bill that was passed by the French Parliament. Unbelievable. It passed 780 votes in favor of it, the French Parliament, to 72 only that opposed it. And once it was passed, they said it was followed by a drawn-out standing ovation. Mm-hmm. Later that evening, the Eiffel Tower was illuminated with the words, "My body, my choice," as jubilant onlookers celebrated a scene that was repeated all over the country. Well, we'll see what happens to France. How much longer is Almighty God going to stand for this type of thing? But the Vatican has spoken out very strongly against, obviously, against this. I don't know that you'll read that in some other so-called Catholic websites, but the Vatican has spoken out vehemently against this, obviously. And we have to pray for France. And, you know, France, Italy, Germany, Great Britain, Western European countries, they're contracepting themselves out of existence. They're at negative birth rates as it is, especially Italy, France. These were once really strong Catholic countries. And I think 99% of the population of Italy consider themselves Catholic, but they don't go to Mass. You know, when we were in Rome a number of years ago on a Sunday, in fact, it was Pentecost Sunday, now that I think of it, we didn't go to St. Peter's Square for the Pentecost Mass. We went to a little church near our hotel, which is a few blocks away from St. Peter's. During Mass, there were three people in there besides Cheryl and me and the kids, our kids. Of course, in Italy, you find churches on every street corner, so who knows what the other churches are. But Bishop O'Connell told me that in Italy, when they talk about the church in the United States, and the bishops talk about, you know, when we have to twin parishes because of lack of attendance in both, so they twin them, and we've done that multiple times here in this diocese and other surrounding dioceses. They don't understand that in Italy, why that has to be done, because in Italy, the government subsidizes the churches. Interesting. The government of Italy will subsidize the churches in the parishes in Italy. So they're not dependent upon the people's collections and things and attendance. Different ball game over there. Anyway, we have to pray, especially pray for, you know, we're the same way here. I don't know if we're at a negative birth rate yet here in this country, but certainly not like the days of the baby boomers when we all, those of us who are baby boomers, came into the world. But pray for France, especially because to pass in Parliament those kinds of numbers, you know, and then to be cheering it on, 780 in favor of this constitutional amendment on the freedom of women to have recourse to an abortion, which is guaranteed. 780 members of Parliament voted in favor, only 72 opposed, and then it received a drawn-out standing ovation, highlighted on the Eiffel Tower that night, My Body, My Choice. Horrible stuff. Just horrible stuff. Well, this kind of goes hand-in-hand, really, I think. Holy Father, in his teaching this morning over in Rome, continuing his catechetical series in his general audiences on vice and virtue. Today, he used his audience to focus on the vice of pride, on pride. Today's catechesis was read by a Monsignor, because the Holy Father still has a cold and can't read very, you know, very hoarse. But these are his words, where the Holy Father focused on this vice of pride, and he said it was the great queen of all vices. Those who give in to this vice are far from God, and the correction of this evil requires time and effort more than any other battle to which the Christian is called. Interesting, he calls it a battle. You know, pride was the Luciferian sin. I will not serve, non serviat. Pride really is at the root of all sin, because it's about the self, it's about ego. And the Holy Father related this vice of pride to that of vainglory, the topic of last week's general audience. He said, if vainglory is a disease of the human self, it is still a childish disease when compared to the havoc pride is capable of. Pride is evil, Pope Francis said. Pride is evil and is of a greater magnitude than vainglory, because as it arises from the absurd claim to be like God. And he referenced the monastic tradition of antiquity in Dante's The Divine Comedy. The Holy Father noted that there's a sequence of evils or hierarchy of vices, starting with gluttony and culminating in pride. The effects of pride in everyday life, the Holy Father said, ruins human relationships. And I'm sure You've seen that. I've seen. You know what is a becoming more and more commonplace in our world today. Talk about individual personality types, and but you know, narcissism is becoming more and more of a commonplace character trait of people, and that's rooted in pride. Probably there's no greater narcissist than Satan himself, who, again, by the sin of pride, was thrown out of heaven. The Holy Father said that pride ruins human relationships and foments division instead of promoting fraternal solidarity. It's pride that keeps us separate. You know, yesterday we were talking about forgiveness, right? Of forgiving those who have offended us, forgiving those who have trespassed against us. What's the greatest roadblock to that? What's the greatest roadblock to an individual forgiving someone? It's pride. I don't want to admit that it makes me look weak. It'll make me look like I'm in the wrong, and people's pride prevent them from reaching out in forgiveness. The Holy Father profiled the proud man as one who has an inflated sense of self and his place in the world, adding that he is one who frets about being recognized as greater than others, always wants to see his own merits recognized, and despises others, deem them inferior to himself. You know, you're going to see a lot of pride, I tell you. I haven't watched them in years, but I saw a commercial for it. That's how I know that it's coming up this weekend on Sunday, the Academy Awards, the Oscars. Boy, you want to see a 3 hours of pride on parade, watch the Oscars. It's all about themselves, these self-indulgent boors, most of them. I shouldn't say. Oh, there are some who are okay, but it's all about them, right? The proud person is one who has an inflated sense of self and his place in the world. He's the one who frets about being recognized as greater than others, always wants to see his own merits recognized, and despises others deemed them inferior to himself. That's the Holy Father's words on pride. And then he outlined what he saw as the characteristics of the person who has succumbed to pride, noting that the prideful person is stiff or inflexible, one who is easily led to scornful judgment. With no reason, Pope Francis said, he passes irrevocable judgments on others who seem to him hopelessly inept and incapable. In his haughtiness, he forgets that Jesus in the Gospels assigned us very few moral precepts, but on one of them he was uncompromising, never judge. There is little one can do with a person suffering from pride. It's impossible to talk to them, much less correct them. These are the words of Holy Father this morning in his general audience, because ultimately they are no longer present to themselves. One just has to be patient with them, because one day their edifice will collapse, the Holy Father said. And he urged the faithful. And, you know, one of the reasons I love sharing these words with you, because he spoke, you know, the Holy Father does this almost every Wednesday, has general audiences. We've been to them when we've been in Rome. People gather now these days. I guess he does it in Paul the Sixth Hall, because in Italy right now it's still not outside weather yet, but good enough to be gathered in the square. But I love sharing them with you because I want you to hear his exact words. I want you to hear what Pope Francis really says. And well, at the end of his address today, and another reason that I want you to hear them, because he's, you know, he wasn't just speaking to those in Paul the Sixth Hall in the Vatican. He's speaking to you and me. He's speaking to the faithful around the world. So he ended today by saying and urging us to take advantage of this Lent to fight against our pride. And he added that salvation comes through humility, the true remedy for every act of pride. And so, again, using this season of Lent, the Holy Father said, let us look at ourselves and let's take advantage of this season to act against our pride, because salvation comes through humility. All right, I'll take a break. When I come back, hey, we're going to go to and continue. We started last week our examination of conscience. So stay where you are. Be right back. Have you downloaded the Domestic Church Media app for all your mobile devices? It's free and enables you to stay in touch with Domestic Church Media and all we have to offer. You can tune into our live broadcast 24/7 as well as listen to our archives and podcasts. And you can even watch our local DCM programs live on our YouTube channel or watch the archive programs all on your phone or tablet. In addition to all things DCM, you'll also have so many other resources right at your fingertips. The free Domestic Church Media mobile app also gives you the daily mass readings, the liturgy of the hours, numerous common prayers and novenas, and daily saints of the day. And that's not all. The Domestic Church Media mobile app also includes the complete catechism of the Catholic Church, the entire Bible, as well as multiple Catholic periodicals and newspapers like the National Catholic Register, Our Sunday Visitor, and so many others. Plus, you'll have access to all our local diocesan newspapers and so much more. Go to your app store today and download the free Domestic Church Media mobile app. We know you'll love it.
What have you done for your marriage today?
I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
I got him mustard and mayonnaise for his sandwich when we were having lunch.
Today we've actually organized a date night tonight.
And silverware and napkins. Wasn't that wonderful?
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I suppose I didn't yell at him for anything. Yeah, at all.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. I have carried my wife's purse.
What have you done for your marriage today?
What have I done?
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
For the first 1,000 years, there were married priests within the church. There still are married priests under certain circumstances, you know, so it's not absolutely necessary. However, I'm a supporter of it, and I wouldn't want us to move in the direction of kind of a, hey, you know, optional, some do it, some don't. I get it. And I go back to Paul, and it's Paul's words that are actually in the ordination ritual, you know, about an undivided life, a total gift. I have nothing but the greatest respect for married people. In fact, when I hear the term heroic sanctity, when they talk about saints, I think of parents right away, you know, who give themselves to their kids. But there's something, I think, pure and simple and undivided about the life of celibacy. It's a radical conformity unto the celibate Christ. Why am I celibate? My ultimate answer, because Jesus was, and I'm conformed to him.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
It started like it does for many people. Question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, you know, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I had experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to, and I know where I'm going, and there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hello, I'm Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton, and this is a Eucharistic Moment. Our Catholic faith and teachings draw their inspiration from and rely upon the Word of God as the source of their truth. The Holy Scriptures, both in the Old and New Testaments, are filled with constant accounts of God's presence among us. The New Testament Gospels, of course, center on the mystery of God's incarnation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The whole of Holy Scriptures lead us to the moment at the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus took bread and wine only to become his very body and blood, blessed, broken, and given to the disciples and through them to all of us throughout time. Do this in memory of me. Before he ascended to the Father, Jesus said, "Observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The Eucharist is the way Jesus Christ is with us always, and is our central belief, a mystery, a sacrament, and the source of life.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back. Happy to have you here on this March, was it March 6th? I think so. Yes, it is March 6th. And feeling a bit cool and damp outside, the misty, and that's okay. You know, it'll get better. That's one thing about living in this part of the country. You always know the weather's going to change to something. So. Okay, so let's see. I'm just every now and then, you know, I go to spiritdaily.org. Did you ever go there? There's one Catholic site, spiritdaily.org. Now, sometimes there are a couple things, you know, it might be a thing here or there that I don't necessarily think is a good idea to put in there, but there is a lot of good information because they draw from all different sources. You know, interesting articles, but you have to be, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Okay. So anyway, I was just reading on the break there, but I'll stop there. I'll give you my full attention now. We're going to go to back to where we left off last week, when we were doing an examination of conscience. You know, hopefully sometime this season, we all get to confession, right? We should go not just in Lent, though, try to make it a regular part of our our month, at least each month. You know, because we need it. The Lord left us this wonderful sacrament to be able to go and be sorry for the sins that we all commit, you know, on a regular basis. But part of that, of course, is making a good examination of conscience. You know, the church's responsibility. You know, Bishop was talking about it on his program on Friday. You know, we're in a political season right now. We're getting close to major presidential election in the fall, and the church will never say by name who to vote for. That's not the church's job. What the church's job is to help form your conscience, to make the right decisions, not just in that area, but in all areas of life. You know, we have to, and I remember we learned this when I was studying for my confirmation, to have a well-formed conscience, a well-formed Catholic conscience. We have to know right from wrong, you know, and we have to know, especially in a world like ours today, that muddies that up. You know, what was once good is now called evil. What was once evil is now called good. So obviously a good examination of conscience helps to keep our conscience formed as it should be. Now, we did the first two, and this is based on the Ten Commandments. We did the first two commandments last week. I will pick up today with the third commandment, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Okay, and in that particular examination on that commandment, we ask ourselves, if I deliberately missed Mass on Sundays or holy days of obligation? I think now, these days, you know, Cheryl and I were talking about it this morning. It's hard to believe it was 4 years ago, 4 years ago, that we began, right around this time of that year in 2020, that we began to feel the brunt of the COVID pandemic. Remember when everything started to shut down? We were talking because we were actually at EWTN right around this time, the first week, second week in March. We were asked to be guests on Jim and Joy's program. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen that, you can, if you do a Google search for Jim and Cheryl, Jim and Joy, it'll come up. There were two programs we did with them. Anyway, we were down there, and we came back, I believe, on March 9th of 2020, and it was, or maybe March 8th or 7th, but it was that 7th, 8th, 9th that everything started to shut down. Remember those days? Remember that year we couldn't even go to Mass on Easter Sunday. Remember that? And that's when the parishes began to, if they weren't already, began to really use YouTube and Facebook to broadcast their Masses, so people at least could attend their local parish virtually, which is fine. The churches eventually began to open up again in the summer. You know, and you had those things on the floor, standing 6 feet apart, wear your mask, use your hand sanitizer, all that stuff. But what happened as a result of that, a lot of people, and I don't know the numbers, although the bishop did say people, they're noticing church attendance almost at where it was before the pandemic. It's still not there yet, though. People began to do just that, begin to miss going to Mass and watch it at home or on their laptop or their phone. And we have to be careful now. Now, for some, that's the only way they can attend Mass. They can't get to Mass for one reason or another. They themselves have mobility issues, or they're caring for a sick relative and they can't leave them alone, or they're sick. You know, they just, I have a bad cold. I'm not going to go to church and spread it. You should do that. You should stay home. If you're sick, stay home. But to deliberately miss Mass on Sundays or holy days, that is an offense against the third commandment. Remember to keep holy the Lord's Day. And we have to also remember that you're in danger of committing a mortal sin. And I say that because a lot of people today, unfortunately, don't even know that intentionally missing Mass on a Sunday or a holy day is a grave offense. Remember the three conditions to mortal sin. The offense must be grave, grievous. We have to know that it's a serious offense, a grievous offense, and we have to willingly and willfully do it. Those three conditions have to be met for it to be a mortal sin. Now, you may know people who don't go to Mass anymore. I know people who were raised Catholic, went to Catholic schools. They know very well that intentionally missing Mass on a Sunday or a holy day of obligation is a grave offense. They do it anyway, and they willfully and willingly do it. Mortal sin. And I'm not judging their soul. That's just they've met those conditions. The actual severity of the offense is between them and God. God knows the soul. God knows the heart. But on the outside looking in, they've met all those conditions. So that's number one. If you've missed Mass intentionally and you know it was a grievous offense and you do it anyway, please, when you come back to Mass on Christmas or Easter, go to confession first if you want to receive Holy Communion. There are people who, you know, will come back just on Christmas Day or just on Easter Sunday or just on Palm Sunday and go up to receive communion. Don't do that. if you are aware of being in a state of mortal sin, whether it be having missed Mass or any other mortal sin, please don't do that. Go to the sacrament of confession first. It's a sacrilege. It's a mortal sin on top of a mortal sin. Okay, so that's one. That's an obvious one. Remember to keep holy the Lord's Day. Have I tried to observe Sunday as a family day and a day of rest? Oh, boy, remember those Sundays when we were growing up? It was a different day. Now, here in Jersey, we had blue laws, right? There were, stores were closed. They couldn't even sell, be open for business on Sundays. I know in my house, and I know many of you, you know, it was different. We'd have our big meal mid-afternoon. We'd have company, or we'd go visit. I remember when I was younger, and I'm talking maybe sixth grade, we would just go for a drive on a Sunday afternoon, get in the car, and we would just drive around and go someplace nice and look at the scenery. Remember doing that? It just was different. There's that beautiful writing of St. Pope John Paul II, and I believe it was right around maybe 1998. D.A. Stomany, I think, on keeping holy the Lord's Day. So it was about Sunday. Beautiful. You can find it. If you go to the Vatican website, www.vatican.va, and go to the John Paul page, John Paul II page, and on the left-hand side, there'll be a list of all the things, categories, encyclicals, messages, letters, you know. Anyway, it's in there. D.A. Stomany, on keeping holy the Lord's Day. A beautiful, beautiful teaching on Sunday and what it should be. And he even talks about things like that, you know, getting out and enjoying, during the nice weather, getting out and enjoying nature. Go for a walk with your family. Go for a picnic. I remember when the kids were little and Cheryl has been doing what she does since our babies were, you know, born. I mean, being a director of music in a parish setting and organist and choir director. So Sundays were always and have been always, that's her vocation. That's why she does it so well. But our Sundays were always a little bit different than most people. I would take the kids to Mass, so Cheryl would be playing, but we'd all be there. And then when Masses were over, she came home. We made our Sunday afternoons, especially during the nice weather, we'd go to the park and maybe fly a kite or have a picnic. It's just different. And appreciating the day as the Lord's Day. So trying to observe Sunday in that manner, making it a family day, making it a day of rest. Kick back, you know, leave the housework. Don't do it. Get that done on Saturday or the yard work. Make Sunday a day of rest. And then another one is, do I do needless work on Sunday? Do I do needless work on Sunday? Now, some people enjoy doing yard work. Some people enjoy going out and pruning the flowers and planting things, especially this time of year, they get closer to spring. They may enjoy doing that and didn't really consider it work. but needless work on Sunday, you know. Try to avoid that. Keep Sunday holy. And of course, whether it's the vigil Mass the night before or Mass on Sunday, please make that the first thing you do. You know, make it that's your priority. You know, when I was, again, growing up, Mass was never an option. As long as we were in the house, I don't care how old we were, you go to Mass because those are the rules of the house. And we always did. There really was never a time that I personally strayed from that. You know, I rebelled maybe one or two Sundays in the course of my 20s where I was mad at God or something and decided I'm not going to go to Mass today. I'm going to go to the park instead. I'll show you God. It wasn't like a long, prolonged, regular thing. It was just an angry thing, whatever I was going through at the time. But you hear on those spots we run, the Catholic Come Home spots, where some people give that testimony where they say, you know, I missed one Sunday, then I missed a second, then, you know, it became a habit to just not go. and they stopped going to Mass. But if you know that missing Mass is a grave offense, and you do it anyway, and you do it willfully and willingly, your immortal soul is in danger. So be careful. Commandment number four, honor your father and your mother. Now, even we as adults, if our parents are still with us, or as children who have reached the age of reason, which is was when I was growing up, I don't think it's changed, 7 years old, do I honor and obey my parents? Do I honor and obey them? Respect them. You know, even in their old age, Scripture tells us, take care of your parents, even when their minds are going. That's your responsibility in keeping the fourth commandment. Even to this day, now both my parents passed away a number of years ago, and I've not been recently, but when I know other members of my family, my other siblings, have gone to their graves, and just pray for them, and pray for them regularly. Even if you don't go to the grave, we keep them in prayer. We don't know where they are right now. They're maybe still doing some time in purgatory. I hope not, but pray for them. That's honoring the fourth commandment. Now, on the other side of that, have I neglected my duties to my spouse and children? So as a husband or wife, have I neglected my duties to my spouse and to my children? You know, we know that children are required to obey the parents, but parents also need to show respect for the children and the spouse, of course. Have I given my family good religious example? Well, you know, again, when I was growing up, mass attendance was not an option. Bad language was not an option. You know, disobeying parents was not an option. You know, we were taught, we were all, you know, my parents did a great job in sending us all to Catholic school, and we tried to do the same when Cheryl and I were raising our children. All of our kids went to Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, trying to give that example. You know, we've been very blessed because, as I said, Cheryl's been doing her job as a choir director, an organist, music director in a parish setting for over 30 years. I've been doing this for almost 30 years, and you try to give the best example you can. In their rebellious years, kids may, you know, resent it a little bit, and you know, those of you who have little ones right now, you know, toddlers, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5, 6, 7, those are the easy years. You may not think so, but just wait. Just wait till these little babies grow up to be teenagers. So, but you still need to show them a good religious example, and maybe just by your patience. Do I try to bring peace into my home? My home life, you know, it's it can be very disruptive and very disordered if there's not peace in the home. And again, whether a parent or a you know, a child living in the house, are we bringing peace into that home and home life? And then the last one on this list under the fourth commandment: do I care for my aged and infirmed relatives? You know, we have a responsibility to those individuals in our family, especially the aged and the infirmed, who count on family to care for them instead of casting them aside. You know, it's something that, again, it is required under the fourth commandment, that especially in honoring our mother and father, honoring our grandparents, those who still even have grandparents, young people in their 20s, 30s, whose grandparents are still alive, showing them honor and respect for who they are. You know, There is, there, you know, another trend today, unfortunate trend, very unfortunate trend, is this, and we had Dr. Ray on back around Christmas time, you know, just before Christmas, talking about this, where young people are basically disowning their parents and grandparents, pretty much because of pride. That's what it comes down to. It's all about them. I don't like, you know, your religious beliefs. I don't like your political beliefs. Therefore, I'm cutting you out of my life. In the old days, that never was an issue. It may have been an issue, but it wasn't severe enough to cut anybody out of anybody's life. But there are even organizations. There's an organization out there called Alienated Grandparents Association. Alienated Grandparents, where adult children keep their children away from their parents, their grandparents. And it's a very, very concerning trend because of the lack of respect for the parents and the grandparents. Now, we'd never get away with that when we were raising our kids. Never even think of doing something like that to our parents. So, again, these are offenses against the Fourth Commandment. When we read, and we do this when we go through our catechism study, here on Thursdays. You know, the catechism is so beautiful that when we read the Fourth Commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, it's not just limited to that. There's a whole other list of responsibilities that go along with that in keeping that commandment. You know, as a spouse, as a parent, as a son or a daughter, grown up, adult son or daughter, the responsibility toward our parents and our elderly in families today. You know, it's a very, and we're all next, basically. As I said, my parents have passed, and so we're next in line. So, and we're getting up in age, and there'll be times when we're going to need our children and grandchildren to help us. And so you hope that that example that we gave in raising them, the religious example, the example of caring for elderly parents also is evident to them, their responsibility. Okay, got to go. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing, for Catechism Day, my friends. So I do pray and hope that you have a very blessed rest of your day. Thanks for being a part of my day. My name is Jim Manfredonia. God bless you and God love you. In me.